Good morning, everyone. Welcome to ICF Rome online. And for those who will eventually be on campus, this is Pastor Jennifer Pasquale. And I'm excited for this season that is upon us. You know, we're celebrating Jesus. We're thankful for everything that he's done for your life, even if you don't know it yet. So as you enter into this service today, I encourage you to lean into the worship, to stand up if you can and raise your hands and praise the Lord, because God is faithful. He has a word for you today. I am believing for a miracle in your life. It's in motion. You joined us online today, and God has ordered your steps. God has a word for you. And as you lean into his presence, I know that your heart and your mind is going to be lifted, healed, restored, rejuvenated. I'm so thankful that you are joining with us today.
Carl, you got to do it again. Look at somebody and say, we got a big God, oh. If you're like Prince, you say you got a big God. Hey, hey, Prince has the hey. I like it. Hey, come on. Sully, this morning, I am so happy to see you.
Thank you, Pastor Jen. It's always wonderful to see you.
Tell them who you are, where you're from, and what you're excited about this month.
Okay, so for those of you who don't know me, my name is Sally Cardenas. I'm actually from Texas, just like Pastor Jennifer. And today, I'm super excited. First of all, because we have Ladies Connect today at 1:30. We have dessert and lasagna, but most importantly, we have fellowship.
Yes.
And we're going to be talking about the Inspire Conference that's coming up April 19th and 20th.
Yes.
And with that in mind, we have student tickets. So if you're a student and you're between the ages of 19 to 25, who in here is
come
between
on, let me
the
hear
ages
you,
of 19 to 25?
19 to 25, say whoop, whoop.
Anyone? Okay. So today, if you decide to purchase these tickets, they're €5 for you, because the rest is going to be covered. Okay.
Woo-hoo!
But maybe you have someone in your university, in your high school. If these are student tickets, so this would be the time to take advantage of something like this. And my sister in Christ, Musamba, which I know she's somewhere in the crowd. If you want to pay with, a POS, or if you have cash, €5 today, and the rest is going to be covered.
Yes, that's awesome. And so here's what I want you to know. Why is it so important? We are touching Italy and reaching nations. And this is going to be our second Inspire Italy conference. And I've had people from Padova, from Florence, from Napoli, from Sicily, writing me, even from Sweden this week, saying, we're coming. We already booked our hotel. So you register, because the registration helps the Inspire Global Sisterhood Project to reach people across the nations, right? So don't think about it as just buying a ticket, but rather investing in the nations.
Absolutely. It is a beautiful invitation, and the Lord already knows whose name is on this ticket.
Yes,
so we're excited.
And I've had people that have, last week, Sally, I believe it was last week, sponsored
ago, yes.
Some 2 weeks ago. Today, we have a different sponsor who is sponsoring the balance of your ticket for young adults. But I have a ticket right here. So even if you don't have €5, I'm going to cover the €5 and let somebody else cover. So who wants a student ticket? Who doesn't have it? Come on, Nadia. Okay.
Thank
awesome.
You.
Good. Awesome.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Hallelujah. God is faithful. Amen. Amen. God is faithful. So I want you to see this other slide about something that's going to happen on that Sunday after Inspire Italy on April 21st. Say April 21. I want you to see that. This choir is amazing. This pastor is Italian. I don't know if he's probably going to preach in Italian, and we're going to translate into English. It's going to be exciting. I'm telling you, I've seen them in Madrid. I've seen them at a Pentecostal European conference. Their hearts are so for you. They are already, I shared it. Thank you, Angel, for that beautiful graphic. I already shared it, and then they shared it because they met us in this Pentecostal European conference and said, we love you. We want to be at the International Church in Rome. And so this is going to be a day of, I mean, you see that's 45 people. So our worship team, you're here, you're going to cheer them on, you're going to worship with them. We're going to figure out how we blend and mix or whatever, but this stage is going to get rearranged a little bit so 45 people can be up here. So I want you to know, why is it important? Because they're going to sing in Italian, they're going to sing in English. It is a culmination of relationships that we've been working on for many years. So it is a blessing. We can count on God. Amen? So I want you to cover these next several weeks in prayer. Hear me. Will you promise? Will you agree? Will you covenant with me? Will you say, I will try? I will do it. I will pray with you, Pastor Jen. Let me see your hand. I will pray with you. Come on. I mean it. We need prayer. We need people to be changed. When you share with somebody that there's some, you know, because I have this Italian thing happening, I freely shared it with my neighbor. And she gave me a thumbs up, so praise God for that. I got a couple more neighbors to share it with. But this week, I'm asking you, will you invite somebody even for next Sunday? Will you invite someone? Because this past week, I invited four people in four different places, in four different ways. Who did you invite? Have you invited someone? Online, I love you. I'm so glad you're there. We welcome you online. Are you inviting someone to watch with you online? Are you sharing the link with them? So if you have Facebook, if you have Instagram, I want you to go find the links, find the stuff, click it, like it, do everything we can to get it out there, okay? Because I want people's hearts and lives to be inspired to let the freedom of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit and the resurrection power to come alive in each and every one of us. When you start inviting others, it's not about you anymore. You know that? Because you know, like, I got to be there because my friend is coming. I got to be there because my colleague knows that I'm coming. So I want to encourage you to invite. I also want to say something to you about the Good Friday service. It's a prayer service that I just felt like God wanted me to do. Brother Paulin has inspired us all. Where is he? Somewhere. Praying. Okay. Thank you. Wave at me. Yes, I see you. Okay. I'm going to do a Zoom. So you need to register. Say register. You click on the website, then you go to the registration link, and it will send you the Zoom. Okay, so that we can see each other praying. Now, I know you like to hide yourself, but don't hide yourself. You can just smile. You can close your eyes and raise your hands. You can just say, I'm here, I'm praying. But why? Because I know some of you work. I know some of you can't get off. I know not everybody can be here. But on that day, for 30 minutes, maybe it's your lunch break, maybe it's your coffee break, I want us to agree together to honor what Jesus did. Good Friday didn't feel too good, I'm sure. And what was coming on Sunday. Amen? So I'm inviting you to join me in that Zoom call on this Friday. Say, this Friday. Amen, amen, amen. Look at somebody and say, you're amazing. Now look at somebody else and say, God is more amazing. God is more amazing. Don't ever forget who is the most amazing, right? His purposes, his plans. I know I'm online and I love you, online family, so I'm not going to go into every detail, but can I tell you there are some things that you have prayed with me about in family, in young people, in teenagers. And yesterday I got messages that just made my heart so happy. I bet you it wasn't even 2 months ago. Maybe they were saying, I'm mad at God. I don't want to trust God. And yesterday they were worshiping God in God's house. I mean, that is a shift. Amen? That is a turnaround. That is where we count on the Lord for victory. We have prayed for marriages in this place. We continue to pray for those marriages and families. But yesterday, I got a message that God was restoring the joy, the love, the companionship, the unity of vision and purpose for a marriage. That's what God does. Amen? But I want you to also know, in the same instant, the enemy is not going to back up and do nothing, right? He doesn't want us to count on the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants you to count on your own power, because your own power will get weak. And then you'll be like, well, I thought I was trusting God, but I'm weak, so he must not have shown up. That means you're thinking about yourself and not about his power. Sometimes his power says, just trust me. There's a reason why you're going to go through this storm. Take me at my word, the song says. Amen? Amen. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. We are going to count on his power for victory today. Say victory. I want you to repeat it, because I want you to declare the victory. I want you, I want me, I want us to stop declaring defeat. You know, I had an appointment yesterday scheduled for about 3 weeks for a shot in my shoulder, because sometimes my shoulders, you know, I need to work out at the gym. Angel, I know that would help me if I had more muscle, but Friday night at prayer meeting, I felt the Holy Spirit say, I'm healing that shoulder, cancel the appointment. I heard it, so, and I was thinking to myself, it's hard to get an appointment. I had to take a Saturday appointment. Do I really want to cancel that appointment? But I heard the Lord so strong, so I canceled the appointment. Yesterday morning, I was cleaning and doing things in my house, and I did something to the other shoulder, and I was like, what? No, 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 no. And in the name of Jesus, I'm healed, I'm strong, I have no pain this morning. I am counting on his power for victory. Amen. But I got to push back a little bit on the enemy, and so do you. So I'm encouraging you today to do that. Will you hand me that? Today is Palm Sunday. So I found this beautiful palm when I got all these beautiful flowers. And in case you're wondering what these are little animals with chocolate. They're not for you grown-ups in here, though. Sorry. These are going to be, I didn't put them all out here because I thought, I mean, not that I don't trust y'all, but I wanted to make sure that nobody took one, because they're for next week for the children. Every child is going to get one of these beautiful, wonderful things. And today at the Lunch Inspire and Connect, I've got presents for door prizes and all that kind of stuff. I've even got presents for the teenagers. So that's next Sunday, okay? Today I have a present in the spirit. But when I was getting some of these flowers for Easter week, I saw this palm branch. And I was talking to the florist about what the flowers were for. And he said, oh, this is what they waved. And I said, wow, it's beautiful. He said, isn't it wonderful to celebrate Jesus coming in? So I want you to imagine with me for a minute. We spoke about it on Friday night, that your arms are the palm branches. Will you wave your arms to the Lord right now? Because, see, you don't have to have one of these palm branches to wave your hand. But can you imagine? Here's what I want you to hear. Thank you for that. Luke 19, 37 through 40 says, when he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all his followers began to shout and sing. Can you imagine? They were singing as they walked along. They were praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. It was amazing. Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in highest heaven. But some of the Pharisees, the religious people, said to them, teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that. He replied, if they keep quiet, the stones along the road will burst into cheers. So can I hear a praise from you? I don't want the rocks to cry out on my behalf. Amen? I want the Lord to hear my cheer. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. I want to say, God, you're good. You're the King of Kings. I don't care who tries to silence me. I will not be silenced. I don't care who tries to discourage me. I will not be discouraged. I will burst into cheers for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? So I want you to remember, these are your palm branches this morning. I'm going to set this here. Hopefully it doesn't interfere with any signal. There was a triumphant entry that happened on that day. Today is Palm Sunday. Next Sunday is Easter week. I've been looking at some memories and pictures over the last 10 years as we get ready to celebrate 10 years of ministry together. And some of the clips of Pastor Rick. He loved Palm Sunday and Resurrection Week, and he would just preach so powerfully. And can I tell you, I was inspired again. I just said, Lord, it is the day when we declare the triumphant entry. The king was being praised and declared. And there was a prescription, if you will, given by Jesus to those who would count on his power for victory. First of all, he said, basically, don't keep quiet because the rocks will cry out. So he's saying, leave them alone. I don't care what you say, religious people. Leave those people alone. They're praising God. They're praying to God. They're celebrating. They are my children. I want you to look at what he says, though, in John chapter 12, verse 25 and 26. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. You see, the enemy wants you to love your life in this world so much that you strive for it and you burn for it and you yearn for it. And when it doesn't go well, you're discouraged, right? Those who care nothing for the life in this world will keep it for eternity. Isn't that a powerful promise? Anyone who wants to serve me, the Lord said, must follow me, because my servants must be where I am. And the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Isn't that a beautiful promise of Jesus? That you can wave your palm branches. You can say, God, I'm all yours. And he says, I will honor you if you serve me. If you put the world above the Lord, you will be discouraged and defeated at some point in your life. But if you put him above the world, can I tell you, as Bo said about the offering, as you've heard many times in this spot from people who pray over your offering, when you give to God, you cannot outgive him. When you give to God, the promotion comes, the raise comes, the contract comes. Amen? Somebody ought to get excited about that. 1 John 5:4 says, everyone born of God, everyone. That means if you said, Jesus, come into my life, everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. You see, Jesus did something during this season of resurrection power. Amen? He was doing a lot of things. There was a crowd cheering. There were people blessing him. And we must count on his power for victory. I want you to count on his power. I want you to know he's not on this cross anymore. Can I just say, it's beautiful. It's so meaningful. There's the glory of the Lord from the cross, from the empty cross, but he's not there. And he's not in a tomb. You know, sometimes when you're trying to describe God, there's just no words. I was trying to find a video that would describe, and probably AI will generate something soon, but just what it must have been like when that stone that was so heavy, it took multiple people to put it in front, was rolled away and Jesus came out. But it was so powerful. Can you imagine that just a couple hours later, people were encountering Jesus and they didn't know that it was him? They thought it was the gardener of the gravesite. The people who waved their palm branches just a few days later, some of them would be saying, crucify him, because they doubted the power time after time after time. But here's what I want you to know this morning. Number one, the victory is for me. The victory is for me. You say it. The victory is for me. See, sometimes we compare ourselves to someone else. We think, well, the victory's for them, or they've got a special touch, or they've got all the blessings. No, the victory of the power of God knows no race, creed, language, tribe, color, culture, degree, status. The victory is for all of us. Isn't that amazing? And when I have that promise, it changes the way I look at the valley, right? If I know I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and not fear any evil, the victory is for me. If I know I can climb to the top of the mountain, the victory is for me. If I know I have to say to that mountain, be moved and thrown into the sea, the victory is for me. Amen? When you get it in your spirit, your countenance will change. The second thing I want you to know is that I call him King. We sang about that's my King. We're going to sing about it next week. I call him King. I will follow his authority. See, we want him to save us from hell, but we're not really giving him the authority in our lives. We want to have the authority. We want to, and you do have the decision making. That's the one thing God never took from you, is your ability to choose. He will not force you to trust him. But he says, trust me, see me, try me, see if I don't open the windows of heaven and pour out more than you could possibly contain. I call him King, and I follow his authority. If you're still trying to run the ship of your life, you need to move over and give the captain of your soul full command. I'm telling you, it is a daily thing right now. It is something that is in our midst with the Lord. That when we are seeing victory, when we are about to experience victory, that the enemy says no. If you were here on Wednesday night and you're a man and you were in the men's group, you heard Brother Paul's testimony. If you were here on Friday night or online, you heard Brother Paul's testimony. He prayed a resurrection power prayer of victory over a spiritual daughter in the Congo. And the enemy, Brother Paul is full of faith and powerful prayer, but the enemy was right there in his mind saying, what if God doesn't answer it? You'll look silly. You'll look foolish. Stop praying. But he said, no, I will not stop praying. I will call this girl to life. I will speak resurrection power over her. And not only did God heal her in just a few minutes, get her up out of that coma, make her feet walk around the room, make her talk and celebrate, a doctor said, I had turned my back on faith. But I have witnessed, God is the only explanation for this. I will go to church again. I will trust God again. See, when we touch one, we touch Italy. That's us. We're here. We reach nations. Amen? I will not let the rocks cry out. Thank you, Brother Paul, for shouting the story, shouting the testimony. I'm going to shout about my shoulder being healed. I'm going to shout about the miracles in marriages. I'm going to shout because God's authority is able to bring about something that you thought was not possible. Amen? The third thing I want you to know is that he gave us a promise. When he was with the disciples, he was promising them. He said, the Father will honor those who serve you, who serve me. The Father will honor those who serve me. We have a lot of people here who serve, and I'm so thankful for that. We're going to have people who serve when we flip this room after second service. We're going to have people who serve at Inspire and people who are here on Saturdays doing dance practices and today. But I want to say to you, the Lord wants you to serve him so the rocks don't even cry out. Four things I want you to know about serving Jesus. The first one is that you have to cultivate your relationship by spending time with him. Serving him is not just about working. Serving him is not just about the task. I have a relationship. So when I have a relationship with someone, I love being with them. I want to be with them. They need help. I'm like, yes, I'm right there. My daughters, I have a relationship with them. I love them. That means my phone is always on. And if they want to send me a message at 2 o'clock in the morning because it's a different time for them and it's a testimony or a prayer request, I say, yes, I'm not interrupted. I'm not inconvenienced. I have relationship. Thank you for sharing the victory. Thank you for sharing the opportunity to pray together. The Father honors when we cultivate our relationship with him. The second thing I want to say to you, I've said it all month because we're counting on his power, and that is this. Ask him, ask God, and yield to his power. Surrender is not weak. Hear me. Surrender is not weak. See, this world is all about self, self, self. Your voice, your rights, you are supposed to be this and you are supposed to be that. But when we yield, it says, God, you're in control. Hear me. When we surrender to the complexities of our day and we say, God, I need your wisdom. I need wisdom to know whether to speak. I need wisdom to know how to listen. not just listen to speak back. Listen to understand. I need to cultivate that relationship. Surrender is not weak. But if we don't surrender ourselves constantly, that pride of self will rise up. It may be an insecurity. It may be a superabundant confidence. But I must say to the Lord, this is not about me. I mean, every single time I come to this platform, I feel myself in the spirit laying prostrate before the Lord. I don't do it because I don't want to draw attention to myself here in this sanctuary. But in my home, I do. I kneel down by my bed. I lay before the Lord. I say, God, I can't get low enough for you to be high enough. I yield to the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Why am I telling you that? Because it's an attitude, a posture of your heart that God is looking for. Surrender is not weak. I want you to know something. Surrender and sacrifice had to come on that cross before we could celebrate next Sunday's resurrection. We love the resurrection. We love the empty tomb. But we cannot forget on this Palm Sunday the sacrifice and the surrender that Jesus did. Because he wanted to take on your infirmities, my infirmities, so that you would know that something supernatural had happened because of who he is. Amen? The third thing I want you to do is to grow your relationship with him by spending time with his people in community and in discipleship. See, again, COVID did a lot of great things for us. We got two services, hallelujah. We got joy about being together because we didn't want to be apart, amen. But one thing COVID did was also kind of make us think, oh, it's easier if I just stay home. I'll just Zoom in. I love that you're watching online. And I'm not speaking to those who need to be Zooming in right now. But I'm saying something to you and to us. We grow in our relationship when we spend time with God's people in community, in discipleship, amen. And so when you go to the class, when you join the class online, when you start serving after what you've learned, your relationship is thriving with Jesus. Don't be distracted. We're happy that people have translation. But I want you to focus on what Jesus is doing, okay? I want you to grow your relationship by spending time with him. Jesus got on that donkey. He got on that donkey. He said, go tell somebody you need a donkey. And they're like, why? And he said, just go tell them. And then he got on a donkey to ride into this triumphant entry. I'll come back to that in a minute, but just think about that. The power of heaven, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, chose a donkey to ride in before. Think on that one. The fourth one is that he will multiply the fruit of your relationships by sharing it publicly. Don't hide your faith. Don't hide. Don't hide. Don't say, I can't talk about it. We're inspiring Italy. I invited a lot of people last year that didn't get to come, but this year they're coming, and I'm so excited about it, and I'm praying a hedge of protection around it, because what I know is that all I can do is say my story, my testimony, what God is doing in my life. But then that inspires someone else for their life and their testimony. Your testimony will be shared with others. When you share it, you have the ability to say to someone, you may not know everything I've gone through, but I'm living proof. Y'all remember living proof? I'm living proof that my God has resurrection power. Amen? Multiply the fruit of your relationship with him by sharing that relationship with someone else. I also want to say to you today, nothing in the world is too hard for God. Nothing in the world is too hard for God. Nothing, nothing, nothing. If you think that something in your life is beyond his capacity to work it out for your good, you're wrong. You're mistaken. All you got to do is stay on that potter's wheel. He might need to do a little bit of crushing and a little bit of remolding. But I want you to know nothing. Say nothing. Type it in the chat. Nothing too hard for God. So when you wake up tomorrow, when you get a phone call on Wednesday afternoon, I want the first thing you remember is resurrection power. I want you to remember nothing is too hard for God. Okay, now I know how to pray. Now I know how to defeat the enemy. Now I know how to say greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen? Somebody say amen. Amen. Nothing in the world is too hard for God. Betrayal didn't stop him. He was betrayed. Have any of us ever been betrayed? Probably all of us at some point. If not, I hate to tell you, but maybe it might happen someday because it's just the nature of people, right? People are in our life for a season, a reason. Very few stay for the long haul. But Jesus is there for always. Jesus is there for always. Jesus is there for always. I want you to get that in your spirit. Betrayal didn't stop him. He's God. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He could have said, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. I don't know. I picked those two guys, but Judas and Peter, I'm out. You have just frustrated me to the max. I don't need to be here. He didn't do that. He said, let's break bread together. Let's have communion. Do this in remembrance of me. Betrayal didn't stop him. You know why? Because he recognized the authority that Abba had given him, and he knew his assignment had to be continued. Amen? The grave didn't hold him. Death didn't hold Jesus back. Death did not hold Jesus back. Can I tell you, the grave does not hold his power back in our lives. Death does not have to be the end. If for the believer, it's just the beginning of eternity. It's amazing. So if I look at Jesus, and I know the grave didn't stop him, then I'm not going to let the threat of the grave or the past grave or the grave of my dreams stop me from trusting him. Maybe some of your dreams have gone in the grave. You feel like they've been buried. He's saying, nothing, nothing in the world is too hard for me. In John 16:33, it says, he overcame, he overcomes. I want you to remember something. He made deaf ears open. He opened blind eyes. We always think about the physical, but I wonder also, are there deaf ears that weren't listening? And by healing in the physical, he was also healing in the supernatural so someone could hear the word of the Lord and understand. He healed in the physical blind eyes. But I wonder if he was also healing someone's vision, so that they would not be blind to the work that God was trying to do in and through their testimony. He opens our eyes. He restored people crazed by years of turmoil, and he forgave betrayal, and he brought dead men to life, including himself. I mean, that is the power of the resurrected Lord that we celebrate this week. But you have to recognize his authority. Isaiah 40:12 says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand or with the breadth of his hand? Can you imagine just his hand? That means like the width of his hand. He just stroked heaven and nature and the solar system just with his hand. I mean, some people have big hands. Some people have little hands. You might need two or three hands. With one hand of God, all of heaven, all of the solar system, all of space was created. Nothing is too hard for God. It says in Isaiah 40:12, who has held the dust of the earth in a basket or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills on a balance? Only God could do that. Only Jesus, only God could breathe life. Only the Spirit of God could make dust turn into a man or a woman come out of his side from a rib. Only God could do that. Nothing in the world is too hard for God. And finally, I want to say to you to give your faith action. It's more than a feeling. Write it down. It's more than a feeling. Because if you only have joy when you feel it, I'm telling you, you're not going to have joy very often. In this world, it's tough. But faith is more than a feeling. Faith is more than a feeling. It is a choice. It is a decision. Come on. It is me saying it's not about me. It's about you, and nothing in the world is too hard for you. I want you to spend your faith. I want you to refill your faith through the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because faith brings us to salvation. When I believe, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Faith brings me to the healer. I come to him. I say, God, I need that healing again. When that other shoulder popped on yesterday morning, I immediately said, Jesus, no, help me. God, enemy, you're defeated in Jesus' name. And I felt a surge of just calmness in my shoulder. It brings me to the healer, but then he does the work. Faith brings me to the Prince of Peace. If you're in turmoil and chaos, and your mind is not at peace, I ask you, what are you putting in your mind, and how many hours a day are you putting it in there? Are you giving all the time at work, which we have to do, but not giving God some intense moments to really wash your brain of all that turmoil, of all that stress, of all that chaos? The Holy Spirit can do in a minute what you endured for 8 hours at work. I'm going to say it again. The Holy Spirit can do in 1 minute what you endured for 5, 6, 7 hours in a day's work. He's as close as the mention of his name. It's more than a feeling. Faith gives you a firm foundation. I want you to believe in Jesus, but I want you to act on it. Faith keeps you moving forward no matter what it looks like. And all of that brings victory. Remember this. It may look like a dead end, but so did the Red Sea. You may feel lost in another land, but so did Ruth. I'm giving a pause for translation. You may feel lost, but so did Ruth, and God redeemed her. Amen? You may feel pursued by the enemy, but so did Moses. And Moses brought the people to that promised land. Amen? It may look too big to conquer, but so did Goliath. A lot of people in David's circle were like, no, we can't face that giant. But David said, I don't come at you with a spear and a sword. I come at you in the power of my God. I'm counting on his power for victory. Amen? It may look like it's over. It's dead. It's the end of the story. But so did the cross. Remember this. Golgotha was dark and death was real. It's not a heavy thing, it's a real thing, so you understand and appreciate the power of the resurrection. Lord, I'm laying at your feet, and I'm reminding my heart, I'm an overcomer. I want you to declare, I'm an overcomer. I'm an overcomer. You are an overcomer. You are more than a conqueror. You are victorious. I sent a message to my daughters on Thursday or Friday that said, I'm not praying for victory to come. I'm just praying that you see it because it's already there in Jesus' name. And then I got messages and calls and video of the victory that was in motion. Amen. I walk in victory. As long as God is in it, it's not finished. As long as God is in it, it's not finished. As long as God is in me, I'm not finished. As long as God is in you, you're not finished. If you push him aside, if you say, not so much today, that could be the day that the enemy gets a foothold. The Bible talks about bondage and strongholds in our life. You push God away for a minute, and then the enemy says, okay, I got you now. You got doubt? I'm right there with you. I want you to say to the enemy, back up. Basta. Basta, devil. Get behind me. And in case you think it means you're weak, even Jesus, the Son of God, was tempted by the enemy. Even Jesus, the Son of God, was tempted by the enemy. Oh, you think you're so great? Then do this. You think you're so great? Then do that. But Jesus said, I'm not tempted by you. He rebuked him, but he rebuked him with the word of the Lord. Amen? Jesus said to that woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. He said to the daughter, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. He said to the blind man, go wash in the pool. Your faith will give you sight. He even put mud on a blind man's eyes. And then when it didn't finish working all the way, and he said, I see men as trees walking. He said, do it again. Let's do it again because you're going to see clearly, right? Your faith will make you well. Your faith will give you sight. He said to that man, pick up your mat and walk. I don't know if you were here, you remember, but I had a mat and I carried it around because God said, take that with you. He could have said, leave it. I wonder why he said, take your mat. Except that he wanted people to know, I'm the one who was on the mat. My testimony is showing you that I'm the one who was on this mat. Here's my mat. I don't need to be on anymore. I'm healed. I can walk. I can talk. I can leap. I can praise the Lord. Amen? That is a victory mindset. Romans 8:37 says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. He is preparing a triumphant entry. One day, we're going to be in heaven, and the angels aren't going to wave these green palm branches. They're going to be waving giant wings. They're going to be waving something that ushers in the cloud of glory. It's going to be so phenomenal. He is preparing for that triumphant entry. But I want you to understand something in your life. If you disregard his power because of the donkey he rode in on, if you disregard his power, how many of us look at each other? We compare each other. We say, well, I'm not saying I rode in on a donkey. I have a nice car. Thank you to the teenagers of Michigan who bought my car for me. See, God doesn't show up like man would think. He didn't roll up in a Rolls Royce or zoom in a Ferrari. He came on a donkey. And if you get stuck on the donkey, you're not going to understand the power of the triumphal entry. Isn't it sad to me that they wave those branches? Bose mentioned the feeding of the 5,000. You know what? God did all that feeding. And then later they came back and said, we don't have enough. We don't have enough. We don't trust you. I can imagine Jesus was like, I just fed 5,000 people with five pieces of bread. And you're questioning me? I gave manna in the wilderness, and you're questioning the power of God? A victory mindset says, I don't care if it's a donkey. I don't care if it's bread falling out of the sky. I don't care if five pieces of bread looks like $5,000 in my bank account, or now because God has blessed me, I just don't have the bills I used to have. I didn't have to pay for the doctor because he healed me. It's a victory mindset that changes everything. Somebody say amen. I want you to count on his power. And so I want you to see these things all together as you count on his power for victory. This victory is for me. It's for you. Say me. It's for me. I want you to know it. I want you to own it. I want you to say, God, I'm going to take you at your word. Worship team, I want you to come. I will call him king and I will walk with his authority. What Brother Paul did in that prayer was he recognized in the humanness, I hear the enemy's voice trying to discourage me. But I'm not trusting in the human power. I'm trusting in the resurrection power of Almighty God. Amen? So I will walk with his authority. And his daughter walked in that hospital room. The Father will honor those who serve him. When you say yes, and you say yes, and you say yes, he keeps doing things. He keeps honoring you. He keeps providing for you. When you know in your knower, in your brain and in your heart, that nothing in the world is too hard for God, you get out of bed anyway. You trust him anyway. You love him anyway. You praise him anyway. Amen? When you know that your faith is about to experience a resurrection power, that's what I've prayed this morning. They're going to sing, take him at his word. We take you at your word. I want you to stand all over this room. I've asked the Lord to resurrect. Leave that slide up there for me for a minute before you go to the song. Your faith, number five, your faith is about to experience a resurrection power. I want more testimonies. I want more testimonies. I want somebody else to say, you know what? I prayed about this. I knew somebody who had a $40,000 loan, and it was complicated and troublesome and or debt. It was a debt. Can I tell you, God? God canceled that debt in Jesus' name. Only God could do that. Only God could do that. I want you to have some only God testimonies. I want your faith to have the resurrection power that you say, I take you at your word, God. So this morning, maybe you're in this room and you'd say, Pastor Jen, I know I say it every week. And I'll say it every week until I stand before Jesus, because I know that when I say I'm praying for you, the Holy Spirit reminds me to pray for you. I see your face. In my prayer time, I see your face. I look at the lists of registration. I look at WhatsApp different groups, and I feel like God's wanting me to encourage this one or that one. Your faith is about to experience a resurrection power. If you want that resurrection power in your faith, I want you to lift your hand all over this place. I want that resurrection power. I want that resurrection power in my faith. I want new faith. I want strong faith. I want a different kind of faith. One size doesn't fit all. What I had yesterday is not good enough for today. I need a new faith. I need a new power in Jesus' name. Father, you see the hands. As we sing, we're going to take you at your word. I pray in Jesus' name that these hands lifted are not just palm branches that will one day drop down and say, I don't believe, but that resurrection power will come in each and every one of us, that we will have an only God testimony, and we will recognize we can count on your power for victory in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Maybe you're in this room and you have sin in your heart. You can put your hands down for a minute. You have to ask Jesus to forgive you. He said his mercies are new every morning. But if you walk around with that heaviness and you think he can't forgive you, you're wrong. He can. Right now, I want us all to pray this prayer. But here's what I'm asking you to do for a minute. If you need God to do a new healing in your heart, I just want you to put your hand on your heart, because we're going to pray together, but I want you to put your hand on your heart. Let's say this prayer together. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Separate me from the things that keep me from you. Purify my thoughts. Clean my heart. From this day forward, I will believe and I will follow and I will act for you. I will serve for you. I receive your love. I receive new life. In Jesus' name, I am clean. In Jesus' name, I am clean. Thank you, Jesus, in Jesus' name. Let's take him at his word. Amen.
Wow. The Lord is faithful to his children. As you have listened to the message today, I pray that you hear the Lord saying, I know you, I've called you by name, and I'm working on your behalf. I invite you right now to say this prayer with me, to make Jesus Lord over all. Maybe there's something in your life today that has caused you turmoil, that has put questions or doubts in your mind. You know, the Bible says he's as close as the mention of his name. In this season, we celebrate Jesus, the name that's above every other name. So pray this prayer with me right now and ask Jesus to help you. He's with you. You are not alone. I want to say it again. You are not alone. So Father, we thank you right now. I'm going to pray this prayer and you're going to pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, you say it. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life, to take over every concern I have. Forgive me for those moments when I have doubted or don't trust. be the Lord over all. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I say yes to you. I'm all yours from this moment forward by the power of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for hearing this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to encourage you, if you have said this prayer, send me an email, write us, join us on campus when you get to Rome, because I know that God has something for you, and I know that you need to know you're not going to do life alone. I also feel very impressed today as I pray for you for the needs in your life. I know that during the winter months, there's lots of different emotions that come about, and I want you to know today the Lord is with you, the Lord is for you. He said his name is Emmanuel, God with us. And so today, I want to pray for your miracle. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would heal the broken heart, that you would restore the wounded mind, that you would be Jehovah Jireh for the one who has needs financially. God, you have shown us this year that we are the living proof that God is at work in us and through us. So right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, across the airwaves, wherever you're watching from, I am praying right now for your miracle in motion. I want you to say, I believe. I believe that God is with you. I believe that God is for you. And I believe that he has brought you to this family of faith, not only online, but wherever you are, that you would know. I have people who write me, and I'm praying right now that you'll be one of those ones who said, I found new hope, new life, new purpose, as I join together in prayer with Pastor Jen and all of those at ICF Rome. I bless you in the name of Jesus. I thank you for your online giving. I thank you that you are sowing seeds. You are sowing gratefulness to God for all that he's done and doing. This has been an amazing year of Living Proof. And today, as we think about, we're getting ready to go into a new year before we know it, I want you to know God is with you. God is for you. You're not alone. Your miracle is in motion. I love you. We love you. And most importantly, Jesus loves you. So go out there, walk for him, shine for him, and believe that he's got a miracle for you.